We come back to Luke. And today in the book of Luke, we want to look at this subject of authority of Jesus, being Christians. But what I want to tell you this morning is the fact that you and I, we are safe under the authority of Jesus. You and I, we are safe under the authority of Jesus. And something the people of Israel rejected so much that time. They rejected coming under the authority of Jesus. And we have seen it even in our lives when people reject even the orders, the authorities that are there, that are in place. The consequences are so bad. So God has created us, Lord, in such a way that we recognize his ultimate authority over the creation. And the problem today we live in this world is people are raising themselves up to be the ultimate authority. Even with the authorities God has given us, there are limitations. We are just fulfilling his order. We are just doing all that he has put in place. Otherwise, if this is not the case, I am afraid to say to you that you are living under someone's authority, someone else, if you can't recognize this. If you can recognize the fact that all authorities come from God and he is the ultimate authority under which we can place, we should and we must place ourselves if we are ever going to be a dignified people. Because actually, what is the revelation? The revelation, the whole revelation, God revealing himself to us. He is revealing himself to us to know that he is God, he is our God, and he has created us. And on the other hand, he was revealing us to him, to ourselves, so we know how corrupt we are and how needy we are, and only we will be free when we come to him and surrender to him, and then we will be the true people he has made. And you can never be ashamed of yourself. Even when you are making mistakes, you know that you are doing them under your God, and he got the remedy. He got the solution for that, and the blood of Jesus perfects. And so this is what we want to examine today, because God, in sending Jesus to Israel, that time was coming to do, to achieve this very thing, to bring his people truly to recognize that he is in charge, he is the ultimate authority. And so the questions there with the high priest and the elders, because we read in verse 1, one day as Jesus was teaching in the teaching the people in the temple courts and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the law, they came together and they interrogated him, asking him, by what authority? Who gave you this authority to do these things, to teach with authority, and to heal the sick, and to invite someone like Zacchaeus, who was just like so bad, and to go into his house and to pronounce that the salvation has come to this house today? Who gave you that authority to forgive someone we hold accountable for his sins? And we are the temple court. We are the temple. That is why they were so angry. So the fight here was over who should be in the charge of the house of God. Who should be the ultimate authority over God's people? Even here today as a people of God in this place, who is over us? Who is our Lord? Who is in charge over our lives? Because if someone else is in charge over us, we are in danger. But if we come under the authority of the one who has gathered us from every tribe and tongues, we are safe, we are beautiful, we are strong. Even the love we think about, it will be a reality in our lives. That was the issue at the stake at that time. Who should lead the people of God? Who should lead the people of God? And people had to make their minds. Because the people already have made their minds. We see this in the conversation that Jesus had with them when they said, tell us by what authority, verse 2, by what authority you are doing these things. And he replied, I will also ask you a question. Tell me, John's baptism, was it from heavens or from man? And you know that they said, if they said John's baptism was from heavens, then he will say, why you didn't believe? But if he said that he was from earth, and then the people will stone them because people have made their mind that John was coming from heaven. People are making choices and recognizing where this ultimate authority is coming from. And they were giving their hearts. That is why we had followers of Christ. Then those people who have recognized his authority that was coming from heavens, they followed him. But there was a small group of people who were determined really to keep people in darkness, to keep people in sin, to have them under their authority. When they cannot heal, when they cannot forgive, when they can, all that they were doing, they were giving people heavy burdens, heavy loads. You see, loading it over them. Not people hearing the words of Christ when he said, if you hold to my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. I am the door that leads to heaven. If you come, you enter, you will find pastures full of grace and truth and mercy. He will not judge before he will give people opportunity. So let us just travel through the text. Expositionary preaching, isn't it? So that is what they appear. Yeah, so this is the things that they were facing. So Jesus raised further questions so that they examined themselves. That is why he said to them, was John baptism from heaven or from earth? And perhaps today also you should be asked, so what do you have? Is it from man or from God? Just to, so that he gave them opportunity to think. And actually he gave them opportunity. We see in the text that they were just really talking among themselves. See, Jesus doesn't just jump into judgment. He gives people opportunities to work things out themselves. He gave them opportunity to converse among themselves, because actually they are going to arrive. They know the answer, isn't it? That is why they were making they were very careful that they are not ashamed before the very people they want to deceive. So one of the worst things in the church, deception, is very bad. Deception is not good. It's not of God, because it keeps people in dark. So when Jesus himself doesn't want to do that, so he gave them opportunity, allowing for the evidence to come up. That is why they said, okay, if we say from men, all the people will stone us, because they are persuaded, they are convinced that John was a prophet from God. See? So they were just talking among themselves. And they say, we don't know. Be aware of the people who say to you, I don't know. Because this word is used sometimes like to say you are humble. It's false humility. Sometimes people say they don't know when they know. I just tell you a history. Many years ago, back in Egypt, when I newly got married. So just suddenly I came down from fourth floor and I was going to make a phone call. And actually it was not going to be a phone call. I was going to witness to a group of people in a shop. And really we were weird. The thing took off and people were really listening, hearing, and they were just so excited about Christ and how he can forgive them. And then suddenly another guy came and he said, why you guys are so excited? What is happening here? And he was told that, oh, this guy is telling us about God. And he said, what God? I said, Christ. And he pulled out his big metal. He wanted to hit me. And these three men, they were just helping me. They were just like keeping him away from me. They said, oh, please go. And I was just next door and I went up. And so really they tried to just take me to the secret police, and a lot of things were happening. Following day I came, they asked me of my passport. Where is your passport and so forth? And this young man. And then I suddenly got insight. I said to this young man, where is your dad? Because it's a plumbing shop. So we come and fix our things. So if you have a tab there, so you can come and buy things. I said, where is your dad? And then he thought, why am I bringing his dad here? So that I'm going to report his dad, and then that may really disadvantage them also, their business. And then I came and I told his dad. I said, oh, don't worry about him. You see, and then this guy, we had also something to be fixed in our house, and his dad sent him to our house. And he came, and I said to him, why are you wanting to do something really bad to me the other day? And he said to me, what you are doing is really very dangerous in this country. You don't share Christianity with Muslims. And I said, but they asked me questions. And I said, and he said to me, say, you don't know. That is why. And I said to him, how about if I know? And he kept silent. So sometimes, or most of the time, when someone say, I don't know, it's not because they don't know. They just decide to do that. These people, they know from the text here, they really know. They really know that Jesus Christ was from heavens. So now Jesus did these things. So they first things, let us see, they questioned the authority of Christ because Jesus was doing good things. And secondly, they were asking and they knew the question. Jesus gave them time, really. And now Jesus is going to move, really, to expose them in a parable. That is why Jesus tells this parable. It was in the context of their hypocrisy and their rejection of his authority and his leadership. And then because the quest for those people was who is going to be the ultimate leader over the temple, over the God's people and synagogues and everything. And then Jesus says to them in verse 9, he told this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers and went away for a long time. You see? For a long time. Just observe these words. I'll go on. At the harvest times, he sent a servant to tenants so that they would give him some of the fruits of the vineyards, but the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Just observe this as well. Jesus, all that he wanted, that his people prosper, his people really come as he sends prophets, because God was sending his people. But the people of God, what they were doing, they were mistreating God's servants who were coming, sending them empty-handed with no fruits of righteousness. They couldn't succeed in bringing people to God personally, to have personal relationship. Even God was giving them time, because this is what the word says. He was waiting for a harvest times. He allows the word to be sown in their lives. He sent the prophets to move in their midst and to bring God oracles and to bring God's presence, like what Elijah was doing, isn't it? And Elisha. They were discovering the thoughts of other foreign kings who were coming to kill their people. They were praying. God was bringing blessing to them. They were living among the people of God. God didn't leave his people without a servant, without his presence, without his voice in the midst of his people. This is the God we worship today. He's a God who didn't leave us alone. And we see ultimately when he brought his son into this world is to finalize the revelation that we will have a one who will be with us, one here once and forever, even though not present physically, but his spirit rules us, awaiting his second return, Perusia. So this is what these people were doing. Jesus is telling them. There were no fruits because they were mistreating the servants of God. They were sending them out empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully. Again, there is something here for the servants of God. Do not be ashamed with the mistreatments. We are not reinventing wheels. They have rejected God's people, and there will always be people who will reject the voice of God. And we want just nice things to hear. Beware of the nice things that you hear always. Sometimes you need a word that comes and really causes you not to sleep for 3 days. Perhaps your pride has been really called out. Lack of humility may be is being searched. Lack of love self-centeredness and lack of readiness to serve God. So these things, and then this for our mercies, for our blessings, it's for our grace, everything here, God's presence are in our midst. It's not to crush us. That is why Jesus just didn't jump to judge all the time. Where there is sin, grace abounds, full of grace, as we have time to hear. Because he says, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Just repent and surrender your life to him. And do not please yourself. Open your ears and open your heart. For it is for your blessing that you know something more. I tell people that everything I know, I've been told, I've learned it. You see, there's nothing of myself. And you too, you can learn as you open your ears, you open your heart. Be teachable. Because I don't think there is a limit to which we can grow in godliness and brokenness and the knowledge of our God. We can be fully transformed. That is why the Bible, I haven't heard a sermon and I should prepare a sermon, moving from degree of glory to another, sanctification, moving from the thing that really you struggled with yesterday, you shouldn't be struggling with today. That is how God works. Comparison. So if it's an issue, just bring it. That was the issue, was killing the Pharisees and the scribes. Because they were just like held up there as leaders, and so they couldn't just endure the fact that Jesus was coming and with the heavenly authority, and he was spectacular, even though Jesus didn't really show off that he was just like real from heaven for the sake of that. Some of us will just do today the things we do today. It's just silly. It's not of God. Jesus did it humbly. He said, I'm gentle and meek. You will find rest for your souls. Jesus was just so humble, was so gracious. He just gave them time. This is the meaning of the parables. He said God gave time always. He gave opportunity for people really to put things right with him. And yet they were insisting. And now he will tell them that things will not stay like that. You see, you can play the whole year as a student, not studying, and then you come to the day of the reckoning, the day of examination. I went through a lot of examinations. My first exams were terrible. When I was first year a student, I didn't know how to do it. And so you sit there 3 hours, so you have a lot of time. But when we started to study, no, really the time was just running out, so you were busy writing things. See, so there will be a time of reckoning. There will be time where things will not be just like that. You have a time here. So because sometimes when calamities are not here, we think that the world is just like for us all the time. We know even the attacks of the Satan and the enemy is just like working. Even the small grace we have today, he would want to really to destroy it. So let us be aware of these things. We don't take anything for granted. So here the text says that because these people, they have done these things, even they were given more times, they were just determined to send away all the prophets of God and just like mistreat them, so that they can be the ultimate authority. That was not helpful to the people. Then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my son whom I love. Now the patience of the father is being illustrated. I have been so patient. What shall I do now? When you say, what shall I do? You have tried everything, isn't it? What shall I do now? I have tried everything with these people. Now I'm God to vindicate my name. He said, and then I will send my son whom I love. This is the son he loves. But because he loves these people also, he sent them his beloved son. He still wants to show them his love. Perhaps they will repent. They will respect him. But when the tenants, even when they saw that that was going to solve the problem once and for all, so they marshal all their solutions and their forces and so forth, so that they put a permanent stop to these attempts of God to have a ruling power over his own people. That is what it says here. But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. This is the air. This is it. So there won't be any vineyard, there won't be anything else. So let's kill him. and the inheritance will be ours. So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. We know that in Hebrews 13, that they led Jesus Christ outside the city and they crucified him. They crucified him. That is what really verse 13 and 14 is telling us. To 15. But the judgment of the Father is just because they reject the authority of his Son over God's people. They rejected this, but now the consequences are so great. God is going to move. And now, oh, how gracious is God. And how glorious is the Son of God. Those who reject him and his teaching, it doesn't matter. They will face the consequences. There will be a judgment. And the judgment came on the people there and is going also to come. Now in the last few minutes that I want to bring to you what we can apply and also the last two verses. Because these people, they rejected God, is going to move now and just like to vindicate his name. And you have not given him his life. So now he said to them, Jesus looked directly at them and us. Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. So Jesus looked at them. He searched them. He looked at them into their hearts. He looked at them in their eyes. What is there? And he told them this. Well, we know that Jesus is not talking about bricks. Jesus is not talking about stones. Jesus is talking about himself. This is Jesus himself, the cornerstone, the true leader of his people. When people reject him, the true leader of his people, it's just like you are trying to build a house with no the most important parts of it that can hold it together. And so Jesus is saying here, as you reject me, so this is what you are doing. So you are not either bricks. You are flesh and blood. As I am the Lord myself, you are flesh and blood. So let us get into the real life things. It's going to be painful. Because if we talk about it in terms of stones, our minds may wander and our hearts may wander. And we think like we are talking about the stones. We are not talking about the stones. We're talking about real people. And Jesus is saying, as God had mercy, as God waited to see fruits of surrender, of righteousness, you rejected the one who came to save you and to be the true leader who will rule you with gentleness, with mercy, and the one who will grant true salvation. And so he said to them, you have rejected me, and this is what is going to happen to you. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. You see, many people have taken this to explain it in different ways. Some people explain it that if you come to Jesus, yeah, you will be really exposed. And as if you have been shattered into small pieces, isn't it? But which one is better, to be broken into small pieces that can be really gathered again, or to be crushed completely and to be useless and to be destroyed completely? At least there is hope when you are broken into pieces. This is what Jesus is saying. If you fall on him, it's better than him to fall on you, his judgment falling on you. But it is better to come and fall on his mercy. Even though you have mucked it up, you have done a lot of bad things, his grace abounds. His grace abounds. He said, fall on him. That is why he says, everyone who falls on that stone, on him, will be broken to pieces. At least if you have something to do with him, there is hope. There is salvation. There is a way out. But if the opposite happens, that is not what we are hoping for, that we shouldn't be waiting. You can't stand under a building that is being built and you see this brick coming on you. Nobody does that. And there shouldn't be anyone in our midst today who should just wait on God's judgment. We are to surrender our lives to Christ. We are to come to Him. Because it is only when He is our ultimate authority, when He is the Lord of our lives, that we can be whole. It is only when Jesus Christ is our leader, is the one to yield to in His teaching, in His leadings, in His spirit, then we become whole. We will be able to treat others with gentleness. We will be able to love them with the love of God. But if we have ideas that we have learned from human, because that was the thing at the stake. Who is the ultimate authority? And authority matters. Because the things that you learn under certain authority, they really prepare you for the future, for the final judgment. And that is why God is fascinated about raising up people after His own heart, that who will not teach their own things, will not raise up themselves as an ultimate authority over His own people, but to point people to Christ and say, in Christ alone, you will have your sin forgiven. In Him alone, alone, alone. It's in Christ, under Christ alone, that you can be saved spiritually and even physically, mentally. You can bring everything to Christ. You got the ultimate power to transform you. But let us not wait until He falls on us on that day. As we do church, as we do our family affairs, let us be mindful of His authority and go. What is Jesus saying about this particular thing in His word? Let us not go about philosophy and pragmatism and other things. But we need to go by the word of God. So just to wrap it up, let me ask you a few questions today. Who is over you? Elders, scribes, high priests, or Jesus? They were not bad, but they chose to reject God's ways in the place of the human traditions. That was the issue, God's words or human traditions. And they still play out to our day today, human traditions and God's words. And we know that. God prophesied about this even in Psalm 18. He saw the fact that people would reject the cornerstone. And let us not be a people who reject Him. Though we have accepted Him, let us go all the way. Let us not be like the people of these tenants. The time is before us right now. As the time was before those people when they were sent prophets, the time is here and the Holy Spirit is here. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ, come under His Lordship. Confess your sin to Him. If you have been trying harder to make your own philosophy, throw them away through the window and come back to His word and delight yourself in Him. And ask Him of the direction for the future, for He knows you hold the future. So that we don't take our futures to our hands. He is the ultimate authority, and He is able to bring fruits through us. He is able, and we can be fruitful. We can multiply. We can fill this place. The other day I was just like, it's dragging on. Just please, can someone tell me? Just tell this story and then stop. Just the other day I was just like I was just going passing by a station, and these two family, they were sharing the gospel with others. And as I was approaching, they said, "Oh, I want to talk to you about God." And I laughed. And I said, "Oh, are you a pastor?" So that is what he said to me. And we just hugged each other, and we just, a guy by name Tim, and there were two, three other people. They're sharing the gospel. And then later on, a guy passed by, a guy who was going through a lot of things. And they talked with him, and then he was going. And I finished with them, and I was walking, and I walked alongside this guy, Joel. He had been in jail, and his wife got on drugs, and his son lost to the Department of Human Service. And he was walking, and you could feel the heaviness of his heart. And I walked alongside with him, and my heart just went out for him. And he was baptized in the church. And I said, Jesus loves you. Please come to us in Clayton. We love you. We want to show you everything that the Lord will help us to do. And he said, sounds good. It sounds good. And I said, it's not too late. God can help. Christ can draw closer to you. Just come under his lordship. Come among his people. So this place will be full when Christ is truly our ultimate authority and we are going by his word and we are listening only to his voice. And not the voices of the world and Satan and devil, and not even our voices, we can have strong opinions. Oh Lord, have mercy. Who is the Lord? Save only under the authority of Jesus Christ. Let us pray.